In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, Houston Christian moves into the driver's seat for SBC 3A. Episcopal knocks off Episcopal School of Dallas at the midnight hour. Grace is incapable of losing to Brookhill. And is Cole Allen the best player in Texas private school football? All this and more in the Week 6 recap of the Texas Private School Podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Halls, and joining you from the heart of Dallas, Texas, Walker Lott joins us from beautiful College Station, Texas, where there has been a lot of celebration over the past couple days. Ryan Schroeder joins us from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, pretty close to Stillwater, where there is whatever the opposite of celebration, we'll call it mourning and gnashing of teeth, is going on. Walker, we'll go to the happy side first. I don't care about private school football right now.
We're so A&M back.
Is back.
We're Dude, so we back. Hope.
I now think we're going to the playoff. I'm kind of convinced that we could play with Texas. What are your thoughts?
Man, we're so back. That offense looked phenomenal. Our front seven on our defense, no one can stop. I mean, give me LSU. Give me South Carolina. Give me Auburn. Give me Mississippi State. And give me Texas. Gig 'em, baby. We're so back. All the doubters of Connor Wegman, shame on you, for the king is back in his throne. Let's freaking go. And yeah, private school was good this week too.
Good. The doubters, of which there were many, I might have been one at some point. Doesn't matter. Connor Wegman's back. Ryan Schroeder, any comments on Oklahoma State football or your weekend at large? You seemed like you had a good time at your wedding. I'll at least say that.
Oh, we had a football game this weekend? I went to a wedding. That's what I went to a wedding. That's what I did this weekend. You know, if you saw me in Stillwater this weekend, you didn't, because I was at a wedding instead on Friday. So no one even know. No, that game didn't happen for all I know. No one was there in the second half anyway. So it really wasn't a game. So
is Ollie Gordon the biggest fraud in college football? Like, is that what people are saying? I don't
know. People just put nine people in the box. I'm sorry that all 11 guys are in the box every play, dude. Okay. I'm sorry that, you know, sorry that we don't have linemen that are good at the run block. We just pass block around here, okay? We love the pass block. Run block is not for us, okay? Actually, no blocking is for us. Neither is defense actually anymore either. Feels like every guy has got injured, but this isn't TXPS, so I think we should just switch gears. I don't think this needs any more talking about, to be honest with you.
So the last thing I'll say is, similar to a private school team whose almost entire team is a running back, what y'all need to do is run the wildcat out of a strong set with Ollie Gordon, like St. John's does with Cole Allen, and say, you know, if they're just gearing up to stop the run, have Ollie Gordon throw the ball, because it works for St. John's. Surely Gundy and the Mullet have to figure something out. Yeah. That's the last thing.
Is it college football? Is it Garrett Rangel time, Ryan?
No, he goes in there it's okay. Believe me. All right. If you're an Oklahoma State fan at home, You know what I'm talking about. We don't need to talk about this anymore.
Poke the bear.
Anyways, if you'd like to see us start a college football podcast, let us know. It's not like we don't have enough on our plates as it is. But moving on, let us get straight into the scoreboard recap powered by Walker Lott this week. Actually, you're going to have to give me about 5 seconds here to pull it up. As always, the four games in the top of the left-hand column we will save for further analysis. So we will start with Prestonwood beating Bishop Lynch 48-33. A good showing by Bishop Lynch, as I said, on the space, but ultimately Prestonwood seems to be inevitable. Walker.
Moving on. Parish Episcopal beats Nolan Catholic 62-13. As Thanos once said, they are inevitable. So good for Parish. Good win.
Kincaid beats Dallas St. Marks 34-23. If you didn't know it already, Kincaid's good at football. They're really good at football and probably the favorite in SBC 4A at the moment. The first win of their district slate looks good for the Falcons of Kincaid.
Austin Regents beats Bishop Dunn pretty badly, 41-13. Honestly, I'm surprised this wasn't a wider margin. Dunn is not the Dunn of, let's say, 2017, I think, around there. Regents is very good and is still the favorite in the Northern Division of District of Division 2. Good win for Regents.
2019 is what you're trying to remember. That's when they won the title. St. Michael's Prep beats TMI Episcopal 49-8. According to our intern Jake Garcia, this is the best St. Michael's has played on both sides of the ball this year. A phenomenal showing for Nico Anderson, and also, even though the scoreboard doesn't show, he was really impressed with Grant Sweeney from TMI.
Walker, take the next one.
Oh yeah, Concordia Lutheran beats Sioux and St. Pius 49-6. Man, it was all Crusaders all night long. Jaden Jones, the 26th running back, was very impressive. Tanner Hugfeld didn't have to do too much, but had a 75-yard touchdown. That was a beautiful pass. Other guys like Noah Castillo, Mason Dominey, Jackson Coleman, that were good. This is gonna be a good team, and it's gonna be very impressive to see how they can do during district. On the St. Pius side, Rome Stanford, as always, is one of the best players in TXPS, but didn't use him enough for my liking, truly. They need to give him more targets. I like him at safety on the other side. But St. Pius, man, at this, I'll leave it with this. At the start of the year in our previous, we said they were gonna be young and it was gonna be a rough year for them. And that is proving correctly. They are rough. It's a rough time going over there in St. Pius.
San Antonio Holy Cross defeats Bernie Geneva 61-7. I mean, San Antonio Holy Cross is now 6-0. They probably will not lose a game in district. The game that everyone's looking forward to is that non-district battle against First Baptist here in a couple weeks. Kind of just what you expect. I really don't think they'll lose a game in district. So yeah, another blowout win for the boys at Holy Cross.
First Baptist destroys Temple Christian 67-8. It appears that some of the First Baptist players took some issue with Temple Christian playing dirty. I don't know how you can play dirty and still lose by 60 points. That being said, don't know if it's even going to be worth covering First Baptist the rest of the way through district, but Ryan stole my preview by saying that Holy Cross game is probably the most excited I've been for a D3, D4 game, probably since we started doing this. Very excited.
Yeah, Waco Live Oak beats Sacred Heart 33-6. Sacred Heart is always a pretty prominent team in TAPS Division 4, and Waco Live Oak blows them out of the water. It's going to be interesting. We needed to get more info on Live Oak, but that's a pretty solid team over there in Division 4.
Fort Worth Lake Country LCCS defeats Grapevine Faith 28-21. I mean, I don't even know how to describe this to y'all. I mean, this is a win for Lake Country that is just kind of proves, a lot for them this year. Three losses right now with a loss of Fort Worth Christian, and then they come out and get a win against Grapevine Faith. Let's just say they did it for the Doddard family. That's really my only tie to Lake Country. Oh, we have other ties to Lake Country too. But I truly, that is a great win for them. They're gonna have a hard time coming up with these next couple games. Got Lubbock Christian, got some other powerhouses in that district. So we'll be interested to see how they play in their actual district slate.
Pantego Christian beats Flower Mound Coramdale 61-33. Pantego moves to 5-0 on the season with a lot of convincing wins. Will be interesting to see that Lake Country matchup, potentially with also Lubbock Christian looming during the season. Shout out Pantego.
Yeah, New Braunfels barely beats Austin Hill Country 34-31. This is a game I picked right on our slate. And yeah, man, New Braunfels is looking like a pretty good team in TAPS Division 3 this year. Excited to see how it goes. But a big win over a team that we thought was pretty gonna be was pretty good this year in Hill Country.
Oh gosh. Colleyville Covenant defeats Dallas Covenant 13-7. I cannot even remotely describe to you how mad this makes me. A good win for Colley. No, I'm not gonna say that. I don't mean that. So it's like I don't I mean, whatever. 13-7, Colleyville Covenant, the Covenant Bowl for those at home. Walker gets a win on a game that really did didn't they just beat your team last week? How are you gonna act like you like them? Dude, whatever. Switching sides, man. Switching sides, Walker.
I don't know, man. I'm sorry.
Anyways, moving on, Liberty Christian beats Canyon West Plains, that I just figured out is out of Amarillo 56-7. I don't care about this game. Liberty is good. Obviously, West Plains could be decent, but they're not as good as Liberty. More excited for the Liberty Prestonwood game coming up here shortly, which you may or may not hear more about.
Yeah, that was a game to fill the sheet. Central Texas Christian beat Rose Hill Christian 49-6. Central Texas Christian with Cooper Smith and other guys around him, they look pretty solid this year, and I'm excited to see how they do. But that's another good win in district. That Hallettsville, Central Texas, and Brazos Christian district games, those are gonna be fun to watch.
Fourth Country Day defeats Green Hill 36-28. That's actually a fun game. I want to know more about it, more than I can even see on here. Obviously, these are two teams that we thought would be pretty comparable going into this game, and they turned out to be. I actually see the stats. William Black for Green Hill threw for 324 yards and four touchdowns
He's
on
good.
46 passes. I mean, that is insanity. On the other side, obviously, Country Day just got it done on all ends from a bunch of different players and stuff. Looks like they had a lot of different outlets to get their scores and stuff, but have to shout out William Black. That's absolutely incredible. I don't know. Overall, I just that's a great SBC 3A game. I just want to shout it out. Good win for Country Day. Those two teams will be fighting for that spot and in Trinity Valley for that spot against Houston Christian. That's a great game.
Absolutely. Antonian Prep beat St. Dominic Savio 48-7 to move to 2-0 in district. They could very well be 3-0 moving into a game against St. Thomas, which St. Thomas will be favored. But you're seeing teams like St. Thomas, Antonian, and I think obviously Concordia Lutheran as well. I mean, the South could be a little better than we gave them credit for. I don't know if they'll shake up to the North with teams like Liberty, Prestonwood, and Parrish, but you never know, crazy things happen. I will take the next game as well because no one else can take this game. Grace Community beats Buller, the Brook Hill School, 28-21. Grace Community doesn't lose to Brook Hill. It's a known fact. They are 12-5 all time over Brook Hill. And as LSCSN and Walker inform me, it is the 20th year of football for both programs. So two teams. Brook Hill has a state championship in D3. Grace does not, but has a long history of good playoff contention. Not bad for teams that are still kind of in their teenage years.
Yeah, congratulations, Wes. I'm gonna say recently I'm the reason that y'all are winning because I pick against y'all and y'all prove me wrong. So you're welcome.
True.
Arlington Oak Ridge beat Austin St. Andrews 64-27. 25 wide receiver Jackson James had 300 total yards in this one, three total touchdowns and three interceptions. What a player for him against St. Andrews. That's a big time weapon they have over in Oak Ridge, but big win for them. With TBS losing Ben Nagushu, that could be a team you could kind of see maybe sneak in to the SBC 3A state title game.
Definitely so. And I did kind of think it was funny going back to the Grace Brook Hill game. The first thing is, I think they heard what we said about Brook Hill potentially, upsetting them. And I think Grace's Barstool was like something like, quote, Grace on upset alert. And it was like a belt to hind end meme. And then also I got a DM that said, like, just quote, coin flip. And I was like, dude, I was like 28-21 kind of is the definition of a coin flip. Like it was a close game. But that being said, Grace doesn't lose to Brook Hill. I definitely never lost. Well, I lost once, but we don't talk about that game. Moving on.
Hello, I'm Bradley Hanna, and I'll be recapping the John Cooper at St. John's game this past Friday. So this past Friday, John Cooper went out to play St. John's. Really wasn't too close of a score. Game felt a lot closer than the final score said. This might have been the reason why Cole Allen was able to run all over this Dragons defense, scoring five total touchdowns, and we saw the very opening play. He takes it deep into the Dragons territory, and he'll punch it in. Two plays, 7 points for the Mavericks. Cole Allen really was a one-man show all night. Dean Calhoun had something to say about that. The Dragons running back, as he was able to get 146 all-purpose yards running all over the Mavericks defense. Cole Allen trying to find something, and he'll fumble the ball right here. Dragons get a second life as they are trying to get back in this game. They'll give it to Dean Calhoun. He'll get the spin move and find some speed. Dean Calhoun able to get into the end zone for the Dragons touchdown. After recovering an onside kick, the Dragons get the ball right back in the Mavericks territory. Calhoun will punch it into the end zone, and the Dragons were able to tie this one up at 14. They'll hand it off to Cole Allen, 1 minute before halftime, and Cole Allen says, give it to me, I'll do something, I'll score you some points. That is exactly what he does. A couple plays, Cole Allen gets the Mavericks into the end zone right before half. Mavericks 21-14 at halftime. John Cooper wasn't able to get much on offense the second half, as the Mavericks defense really showed up and showed out, as they were able to get multiple sacks, multiple TFLs, and they were able to get this guy the ball right back. Cole Allen had a stellar day. The student section really showed up also. As we saw, they were loud and they were excited all game long. Really has been the story for this student section all season long, as Cole Allen was able to take in his fifth and final touchdown of the night before he was taken out of this game. Really great game from Cole Allen, as he was able to get his 100th career touchdown with the Mavericks. That's the most ever by a St. John's Maverick player. St. John's now moves to 5-1 looking at playoffs. Thank you.
In TAPS Division 1, we have the St. Pius X Panthers traveling to take on the Concordia Lutheran Crusaders on their homecoming night. St. Pius gets the ball first, a big run by sophomore Andrew Kirkland, but their eventual touchdown is called back due to penalties. Then Concordia Lutheran gets the ball, hands it off to junior running back Jaden Jones, a name to remember, his first of four touchdowns on the night. Concordia Lutheran then gets the ball right back. Their offense goes out there, hands it off to Jaden Jones once again, his second touchdown of the night. The next offensive drive for Concordia Lutheran, a Jaden Jones long run, gets that ball all the way down to about midfield. Then senior quarterback Tanner Huckfeldt throws an absolute dime to Jackson Coleman, the sophomore, who is left wide open. He runs that pass in for a touchdown, caught perfectly. Then the St. Pius offense goes out there, but Jackson Coleman, right after his touchdown, gets an even bigger interception, gets the ball right back for the Crusaders, and their offense goes back out there. Tanner Huckfeldt hands it off to, once again, Jaden Jones. No answer did the St. Pius defense have for the junior running back, his third of four on the night. What a night for the junior running back. Next drive, Tanner Huckfeldt throws a pass to Ian Kecht. The touchdown again. Then Devin Scott, the senior for the Crusaders. Crusaders were unstoppable. Devin Scott runs his interception all the way back to the 30, giving the Crusaders excellent field position for the final drive of the night, where they will hand the ball off to junior running back Malik Liberty. He scores their final touchdown of the night. The Crusaders get a big win on their homecoming with a final score of 49-6. This has been Waverly West for Texas Private School Media.
Hi everyone, my name is Jacob Ramirez, and I'll be recapping Holy Cross's massive win versus Bernie Geneva. On Friday night, Holy Cross welcomed the Bernie Geneva Eagles in another classic district matchup. Both teams came off of big district wins and were looking to stay undefeated in their district. Unfortunately for the Eagles, though, they were not facing an easy opponent. They were facing Holy Cross, a team who has proven to all of TAPS Division III, and even to the city of San Antonio, that they are not to be messed with. The Knights would strike first when class of 25 Isaiah Rice took a 6-yard touchdown to put him up 6-0. Geneva was looking to get something going right away, but unfortunately for them, the same Isaiah Rice that had just scored on offense did the exact same thing on defense when he took an interception back to the house to put the Knights up 12-0. The Knights defense got another quick stop, bring the offense out, and class of 25 quarterback Gabe Villardo would hit his guy, class of 25 Marco Gomez, for his first touchdown of the night. Gabe Villardo would do the exact same thing and hit Marco Gomez for a second time to put the Knights up 20-0 after just the first quarter. Going into the second quarter, Gibby would flip the script, and this time he would hit class 25 Nick Hall for two touchdowns back-to-back, with the second one being an absolute dime, 68-yard touchdown to the house, giving the Knights a 41-0 lead. Gibby Alvarado would hit one more guy, class of 26 Diego Fernandez, for a touchdown to make it 48-0 at halftime. And going into the second half, it would be class of 25 Daniel Pettis who took a kickoff return all the way for a touchdown, putting the Knights up 55-0. Unfortunately, the shutout win came out to an end when Geneva finally scored to put some points on the board, making it a 55-7 game. Holy Cross's last score of the night would come from freshman quarterback Rocky Roscoe when he hit Aiden Olivares on a 37-yard touchdown, bringing the final score to 61-7.
Moving on to the five games of the week that we will recap. The first one being Episcopal at Episcopal School of Dallas. ESD gives EHS a battle, but Bartee and Thompson prove too much as Episcopal bests Episcopal School of Dallas 25-20 with 30 seconds to spare. This is going to be a hard preview saying Episcopal so many times. The Knights trailed 20-13 with 2 minutes and 7 seconds left when Bartee found Garen Sampson for a touchdown to narrow the Eagles' lead to 1. The Knights got the ball back, and with around 36 seconds left, Bartee found Brandon Thomas in the end zone, and this one was history. We talk a lot about elite SBC running backs like Wayne Shanks, Cole Allen, and Ben DeGishu, but we haven't mentioned Brandon Thomas a whole lot in a while, and I envision that changing as the season progresses. ESD is still the best 1-5 team in the state. I don't have a box score, but I have to salute their defense to holding Episcopal and Thomas to 13 for the majority of the game. But I hear the last 2 minutes of the game count as well, and Episcopal was too clutch in this situation. Walker, before I hand it to you, I will say between Kincaid, St. John's, and Episcopal, there are three teams vying for two spots in the SBC 4A championship game. We've kind of been following this three-horse race since the first couple weeks of the season. As it stands now, what is your outlook on those three teams competing for the two spots in the state championship game?
Dude, I don't know yet. I really don't. You know, this was kind of the thing last year, right? Because didn't like St. John's beat Bel Air, and then they lost the Kincaid in that game at Rice Stadium. So like it can matter either. Like, we don't know. I think what am I trying to say? I think this win for EHS really shows though that they can compete. But Brandon Thomas, like you said, one of the best players in SBC this year, he can truly bring this team to something special. Now, can they beat St. John's? We're going to have to find that out next for Thursday night. But it's going to be fun. I'm very excited. I don't know who's going to be it. We have Kincaid as the top dog because of the guys they have, but EHS and St. John's are showing just as much that they can compete for that top spot. So very fun, very exciting. Man, I always feel bad for ESD at times because, dude, they have the toughest non-conference slate of any team, and they lost by so little points throughout the year. They just not swinging their way, which, man, sometimes luck's not on your side, and you know, rough day for them. But yeah, this is a good win for EHS. Shout out to them. That Brandon Thomas kid, man, he's phenomenal.
Yeah, I hear he can play some football. Ryan Schroeder, your thought on Episcopal edging out ESD?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I had ESD. I really thought it was going to come down. I really thought it was going to come down to the fact that ESD was at home, and it was just you know, the bus fatigue and everything with it. But I love the showing from ESD, right? And talk about three teams, a three-headed race for the top of Division 4. Or is it 4A, sorry. And you really start to think about the fact that if this was a CFP type, you know, little Final Four type bracket system for this playoff, like SBC should have. I mean, imagine an SBC playoff of St. John's, Kincaid, EHS, ESD. I know they're all playing each other anyway, so you should be able to figure that out, but like, that bracket system would be incredible. I don't know. I get it. I get the reason why they do it, but it is sad to think about. No, I mean, I don't. I'm just trying to be nice, I guess. But anyways, overall, a great. That's a good win for the Bartee brothers. But also, I would just want to say that ESD showed out. And I'm glad the game was as close as it was, because it really proves that ESD is not as bad as I think people are putting them as and stuff, just because people don't know Waltrip and Legacy School Sports Sciences and West Orange Stark. Like, people aren't grasping that. So for people to now know, ESD is truly in contention as well.
Yeah, get us in the room with the SBC brass and just give us an hour and let us lay out a blueprint. And no, we're not going to fight them, Ryan.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I mean, if it comes to that, we will. If it comes to that, we will.
We will do it for the greater good of SPC. Like, whatever.
Yeah, we have mob ties with TAP, so like, we're good with them. We go back and forth with them. SBC, Oh my God.
The guys that are at the top of the SBC probably scare me a little bit more. But that being said, give us an hour. Give us some time to lay out a blueprint for a four-team playoff. And there's no way that we leave that room without having a four-team playoff in the SBC. I can't think of anyone that would disagree with that.
Yeah.
Sure. But we'll see. Moving on. Next game, another SBC matchup. John Cooper at St. John's. So as Walker predicted, this was a 21-14 game at the half. However, this recap could be summarized the same way as the preview with two words: Cole Allen. He alone accounted for 35 of the Mavericks' 41 points. It was probably 90% of their total offense. I was asked on Friday who the best player is that I've seen in the past couple years, and my answer was Cole Allen. I mean, it could have been Cole Allen, Andrew Paul, but just like off the top of my brain, I had to say someone. I said Cole Allen. He's just an absolute freak. Again, this podcast has turned into the Cole Allen podcast in the past couple weeks, but for good reason. On the other side of the ball running it, Dean Calhoun rushed for 111, a touchdown. He averaged 7 yards a carry. Dean Calhoun's getting overshadowed a little bit by the other really, really good running backs in the SBC, and that's kind of another talking point, is this class of SBC running backs is, I think, the best that we've ever seen it. I mean, it's such a strong, deep class. But the exit question for this recap, Walker, I'll start with you, is can Allen alone lead St. John's to a 4A title?
I think he can, but I think the first task is you have to get him to his title game. That's the first task for Cole Allen. They haven't been able to do it. And so that's the first task, to get them to that point where he can lead them to a game. Because I think Cole Allen in any big time game can do that. The issue last year is, and I even said it on the pod, and that was the first time I probably ever really criticized the game plan ever on this pod, was Cole Allen did not get enough touches against the Kincaid game and last year. And it was kind of shocking, because you were like, he should have gotten the ball way more. And they've realized that now, because like you said, 90% of their total offense is Cole Allen. And as long as he can do that, I think he can lead them a long, long way. I will say though, that the defenses that they're going to face soon are going to be tougher. The Kincaids, the EHSs of the world, those are going to be tough, tough defenses. And so he's going to have to play at an all time level for him to get to that title game. But if anyone can do it, it's absolutely him. And I want to shout out one thing, and then I'll hand it off to Ryan, is that was, he officially has 100 varsity touchdowns for St. John's. I think it was his third touchdown, or, you know, one of the six for him, or one of the five. And you just have to shout him out from a freshman, man. I remember watching him after his freshman year and being like, this kid is truly special. And we watched the film, and I remember Wes and I talking and be like, this kid has something. And how much he's regressed through also injury. I think his sophomore or junior year, late in the year, he's fought through adversity and got to a place where I don't think anyone has gotten 100 career touchdowns at St. John's. He's the only one. And that truly speaks to how special that kid is. So congratulations, Cole, on that amazing achievement. And yeah, Ryan, what are your thoughts, man?
I want to preface this by saying I don't want to always go back to the Second Baptist game for the Cole Allen comparison, but it really just tells you the fact that nothing was working on that last drive where they scored, and then it was Cole Allen, wildcat play every single play to get them down the field and stuff. And like, I don't want to say it's not like, that's not like, can't just happen for the rest of the season, because it can. And he will do it, and it could just happen that way. But like, to a point, you start to worry about other factors into this, and also why isn't anyone stopping him and stuff. Like, I don't like, truly, I it is kind of one of those things where you're like, it eventually has to come to an end, right? It has to come to an end. At the moment, it's not coming to an end. Cole Allen is clearly the best player in SBC, and if you don't realize that, you're wrong. And then also in TXBS, it's on the rise as well. I think we've talked enough about Cole Allen. I want to give John Cooper their flowers. Colson Collins, you know, I know we talk about Dean, how Dean Calhoun for being a 25-year-old playing high school football. That's just not true. I don't know why I keep saying that. It's not his fault that he's played all 4 years on the varsity team. That's not his fault. He's actually just good at football. But I want to give Colson Collins his flowers. You know, in the six games this year, he's thrown for 300 yards in three of them and thrown for about 150 in the other ones, right? Colson Collins is in a position where, you know, if he can get on the right side of the ball and stuff like that, I mean, he can be lethal for this John Cooper team. This team with the Colson Collins and Dean Calhoun combo at the quarterback running back spot is actually lethal. And I think, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that they play in SBC 4A now instead of SBC 3A, this team really is something special. I know I was crapping on them last week or maybe a couple weeks ago, but it is seriously impressive what they're doing there. And I think it needs to get talked about even in a loss of 41-14. It's impressive what they have going on there. You just can't deal with Cole Allen, I guess, because I guess the guy is literally the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, I think if John Cooper is still in 3A, they're absolutely in the mix with Houston Christian and Trinity Valley. I mean, they're a favorite to make that state game and maybe a favorite to win it all. It's just, you know, it's a culture shock going up against such a as a young program in John Cooper that hasn't played football for a really long time with established programs like Kincaid and EHS and now a new blood like St. John's. I mean, it's a culture shock, but they're handling themselves well, in my opinion. But we'll now move on to Central at St. Thomas. St. Thomas sneakily advances to 2-0 in district, discarding Central 48-23. I don't have extensive stats for St. Thomas, but per sources, senior wide receiver Logan Branting had a monster first half. Quote, pretty sure all 17 points that they gave up were off of turnovers. And also, quote, they gave up a late touchdown when it didn't matter, end quote. But so St. Thomas had a good showing. Apparently, it was a little better showing than the 48-23, but granted, that's from St. Thomas sources, so take it with a grain of salt. Garrett Tyser is back and throws for 200 yards with three touchdowns and no interceptions for Central. But after being held under 20 points in three straight games, St. Thomas scores 48 in back-to-back contests. So, is the St. Thomas the Southern team of destiny like last year? No. Are they still contenders in the D1 South? Absolutely. With massive games looming against Antonian and Concordia in back-to-back weeks, Walker, is this still St. Thomas's district to lose?
Do I still think it's their district to lose? Absolutely. I think until you lose it, it is your team, it's your district to lose. And they are probably the most still talented team in Taps Division 1 District 2. But do I think they're going to be much closer games in Antonian and Concordia losing this year? Absolutely. I think Antonian is somewhat hitting his stride, but Concordia Lutheran is on an absolute hot streak. And they meet up in 2 weeks, I believe, or two, 3 weeks from now. That is a much watched game. I will be at the game because that's going to be on a Thursday night, and I'm very, very excited for it because I do think that's going to be the matchup for the district championship, truly. I think those two teams are going to be top. Antonian has pieces to cause chaos. I just don't think they will this year. But Concordia looks red hot. Same with St. Thomas finally clicking on all cylinders. It's their district to lose, but people are coming for that spot for sure.
Ryan, quick thoughts.
Yeah, you know, nothing too crazy. I mean, this is, you know, important to kind of at least start seeing things filter out in that south part of Division One. I know that, you know, we talked about one of that being one of the districts that was going to have that like switch up of like, you know, who's going to filter in and out and stuff, whether Antonio's going to filter in and out, you know, who's going to filter in and out. But no, it is super important to kind of like see how everything's kind of falling into place. And I think Houston St. Thomas finally showing that, hey, you know, we're going to, whatever happened in non-district doesn't matter. We put ourselves to play a hard schedule and stuff. And so now it's time to play the teams in our district that we know we can beat. So I know Coach McGuire and all them got things going down there, and it clearly showed in a good win against Central Catholic.
Definitely so. Moving on to another Taps game to recap, Trinity Christian Addison at Legacy Christian. Junior Luke Lawrence steps up in replacement of Ian Pulte, accounting for 340 yards and two touchdowns as Legacy gets by TCA 42-28. It looks like Lawrence spelled Pulte at the end of the Parish game, so it will be interesting to see how long Pulte is unavailable for Legacy. Now, this isn't a blowout by any means, so you tip your cap to injury-ridden Trinity Christian Addison.
Junior Sam Jones is probably MVP of this one. He had 110 plus total yards, putting up 3 rushing touchdowns amongst 78 yards rushing, while accounting for 11 total tackles, 2 quarterback hurries, a pass breakup, and a tackle for loss. Sounds like a pretty good, well-rounded game for the junior. Sophomore Corian Gray grabs the only receiving touchdown of the night, racking in 76 yards and averaging 25 yards per catch. So, Ryan, I'll actually turn to you first. Legacy gets by Trinity Christian Addison. Yet again, the preseason prediction of undefeated in non-district, 500 in district, is trucking along quite nicely. Your thoughts on Legacy's performance?
Yeah, I there's a couple of things I want to hit on here first. I also love the fact, can I please shout out first the fact that we might have the best kicking and punting, like the best special teams in all of TAPS. I mean, quite literally, I should have grabbed their names. That's my own fault off rip. But they've been incredible. I saw them in person. The guy that the main kicker that does all the kickoffs has just been booting them out of the end zone every single time, as well as the fact that he made close to a 50 yarder in a game like 3 weeks ago or something like that. I should have done way more research. That's my own fault. But
I'll look incredible. For you while you're talking for the
thank
names.
You. Both of them are incredible, punter and kicker. And I guess that's what we have up in Frisco. But other than that, I also did get a DM from one of the parents of one of the players, and he basically was just kind of giving me a rundown of what really happened in this game. He said, by the way, don't get fooled by last Friday's score. They spotted TCA 21 points off turnovers and block punts on their own 10-yard line in the first quarter. But basically, overall, it was Legacy's to come back after the 21 points they spotted them. Let's be honest, y'all. I mean, obviously, it's going to be said as like that. It's going to be said that that's what happened and stuff. And I believe it. But I also don't want to like not give TCA their flowers for the way they play. Right. TCA is still a Division I team that's injured at the moment too. But with all that being said, I'm glad Luke Lawrence filled in the spot. I talked about him last week, being a potential step up type player, for Pulte, and he really showed out. I mean, 300 total yards, across passing and, rushing, and then, 2 total touchdowns. I think it's important to see how well he's playing, especially since he's going to have to step in for a guy like Ian Pulte. And I think Luke's got the keys in order to do it. And there we go. That kicker, thank you, Walker, is Jack Dragus as well. He's the punter as well. Even better. I mean, he's incredible. He is seriously incredible. Might be looking to see his name come up in awards come January, February time.
So he actually, I'll add on to it. He just nailed a 56-yard field goal and the win. What would that be like a couple weeks ago, yeah, breaking the school record? That's massive. Second 50-yarder of the year. Wow,
dude. He's insane. He's actually insane. The kickoffs out of the back of the end zone can speak for itself. If you want to go check out the recap from Parrish Legacy, I got some of his kicks in there as well. He's like that for real.
There we go. So yeah, Legacy gets past Trinity Christian Addison to further Ryan Schroeder's preseason prediction for the Eagles. Moving on to the last game we will cover, Houston Christian at TVS in the game I was live and on site for. I got to give a couple shout outs. Preview starts. Shout out to Coach Carlson, Coach Morrison. I'm always greeted incredibly well at TVS. Also, the only school that's ever announced my presence over the loudspeaker twice when I've been there. It's always pretty. I said last year, I texted Walker after it happened. I was like, dude, they just announced that Wes Tolleson from TXPS Media was here, and I got to gave like a hat tip. Like the Derek Jeter hat tip last year when they did it. Probably the coolest thing I've ever done. Absolutely had no right to give like the captain hat tip, but it felt cool. And also they did it again this year. I didn't have a hat, so I just kind of gave a little salute, but it was fun just like wave to the crowd. It makes me feel like I actually do something. Also, have to shout out the TVS Booster Club. I got this sick hat dude, it's nice. It's really nice. It'll make some appearances on episodes. Also, a really nice TVS athletic shirt that I'd be wearing if I didn't work out in it already. Shout out. I'm always treated very well there. I'm incredibly appreciative for it. But in terms of the game and what ended up being a pretty ugly game, Houston Christian staves off a late push by Trinity Valley to ultimately win 20-10. Houston Christian loses fumbles on their first two drives. TVS fails to get points out of either of them starting in the red zone. Granted, TVS relies heavily on the run, and they were without star running back Ben Nagishu and the guy behind him and the guy behind him. They're down to their fourth string running back, which doesn't really bode well for a team that runs the ball as heavily as TBS. However, wide receiver Will Beckish looked incredibly impressive. The kid just makes plays. And now a receiver on the other side of the ball, senior Kirby Orth, is a monster as well for Houston Christian. Orth, I learned, is a baseball guy who had to be convinced to come out and play football in the middle of August. And I don't know if y'all are familiar with AJ Minter, who pitches for the Braves, who went to Bowler Brookhill. So long story short, Coach Terry Pirtle is the athletic director at Houston Christian. He was the football and baseball coach at Brookhill when I was there. I was talking to him and he's like, yeah, he's like, I just had AJ call Kirby up and be like, dude, you need to play football. It's like, there's no reason, like, if you're that athletic, there's no reason not to. Apparently it worked and he's doing very, very well. And at 6'2", 190, Orth adds to what is already the best wide receiving core in the district with Bennett Malloroy and Anderson Jones. Running back linebacker Mac Barrow took a heavy set Wildcat touchdown in. Bennett Cooper belted in a couple field goals. Ron Reese threw a nuke to Bennett Malloroy. Senior Beckett Drennan and sophomore Caden Tolbert split reps at quarterback for TVS, and Drennan threw a beautiful jump ball that Beckish absolutely mossed a kid for Trinity Valley's only touchdown of the evening. Defensive end slash outside linebacker Joseph Trickett had a mean strip sack, and safety Trey Wimberly had a clutch red zone pick to shore things up defensively for the Mustangs as they win this game 22-10. Houston Christian moves to 3-0 in district. TVS falls to 2-1. Houston Christian will be favored in their remaining contests. While we will keep an eye on that Country Day game, TVS will have to get past a reloaded Oak Ridge squad and a Green Hill team that has been noticeably better than previous years. So, Walker, we anticipate seeing both of these teams back in the SBC 3A State Championship. However, there's still landmines for each team. Overarching thoughts on this game, and do you think these are the two favorites to make it back to the SBC title?
Yeah, I won't say too much because I think you're right. I think they're the favorites. Yes, there are definitely landmines, especially with TVS without Nagishu. You have to hope he can get back to being healthy as soon as possible. But like you said on the space, injuries like that, it's hard to figure out when you're truly healthy enough to come back, especially with Oak Ridge and Green Hill kind of looking like pretty solid teams this year. I'm excited for this team. I think Houston Christian, I really like the catches that you did at Will Beckish. Watching the videos, he was a dude. So I'll leave it with one last thing, and this is not on TXPS, but it's AJ Minter, the guy at A&M that was like, get Minter out of the bullpen video. Was that him?
Yes, he was. Get Minter up and moving. They're like, what? And they're like, get him up and moving. They just hung up the phone.
Do you think any kid?
That is awesome.
You think any kid in TXPS knows about that? You think that's so long ago?
I don't know. It resurfaces every couple years. That is funny. Yeah, that is him.
That's funny. Shout out Giga Maggie's, but that's a funny bit. I had to reference that. Anyways, Ryan, over to you, buddy.
Overall, I mean, this is probably. I like that they showed you love, Wes. I think it is kind of funny that. Dude gets in hype videos. Dude gets on PA announce, and I got a Parish Legacy, and I don't know. I mean, I was there. I smiled and waved and stuff. People just not as cool, I guess, as the rest of the people there. You know, when there's 15 cameras, you don't stand out as much as the average person. But
that is the nicer thing about not, because again, we love the parishes and the liberties of all everywhere, and they actually, a lot of them do show us love. But that's the nicer thing about going to smaller like SBC 3A schools, where like you might be the only person that covers them like for the next four games.
Yeah.
True.
No, it was good. Yeah, shout out, you know, the AD and stuff at Parish. They all really did show me love. I don't want to disrespect that, but it is funny hearing you get on PAs and all that kind of stuff. That is hilarious. For the actual game though, I actually do have to give more credit to I got to give more credit to
TBS.
To TVS than I was giving them, right? Like, they deserve more credit than I was giving them. Because going into this, you know, my first thought process is, all right, this is Houston Christian's to lose. Houston Christian's going to go out there. They're going to show their dominance. And only a 10-point game truly proves that, you know, it was closer than people thought it was going to be. But yeah, I mean, I can't go back on TVS now at this point. I said I was a hater, and I gotta go full throttle, but I guess not. No, overall, great win for Houston Christian. two teams that I truly think you'll see toward the end when it comes to the SBC 3A championship. But it's definitely leaning in the direction of Houston Christian if it wasn't already.
Yeah, definitely so. It will be very interesting to keep an eye on the games remaining between Oak Ridge and Green Hill for TVS. Teams that, you know, just from name value, wouldn't expect them to beat a team like TVS, who has been in the SBC 3A state championship game the last, you know, 2-3 years. But both those teams considerably better. Maybe a little bit of SBC 4A-esque chaos in 3A this season. I'm all here for it. The SBC is always just insane. It's very fun to cover, even if there's no four-team playoff that we will get changed if it's the last thing I do as a member of this show. But that being said, gentlemen, that is the extent of our recap. Actually, we're going to get Ryan out of here in time to actually go do his real job. So credit to us for getting this done on time. But barring any further comments, I have been Wes Tolleson, one-third of your hosting crew. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you in the Week 7 preview come Thursday. See you later.